We have two scriptures for this morning. The first is actually Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Our second reading is from the New Testament, from the book of Matthew. And for those of you who have been here a few weeks, you'll know that we are making our way through the Beatitudes, the opening to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. There are eight Beatitudes, and each of them kind of have two halves, right? Blessed are, for theirs or. So you're going to be tested this morning because I'm going to read the first part and you're going to respond. Let's see how many of us can memorize or have memorized the Beatitudes. You ready? Good morning. How many of you are scared? Good. Right. So here we go. You ready? Let's do this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not bad. That was the easy one. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Well done. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they be called the children of God. This side's kind of fading out. Back corner, you need a little bit of help. One more to go. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness. That's it. It's the end. It's the bookend of the first one, right? Pure and poor in spirit, the persecutor for righteousness. Well done. So let's do it again. And this time, this side is going to start, and this side's going to do the repeat, okay? No cheating. Right? I'm watching you. We're just going to do the first four, okay? Who laughed? Was that Polly? Do you want to go to the other side? Have you no clue? You're cheating. Polly Long. I should make you stand up here and you have to do it in Greek. Okay, so here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs of heaven. Yeah, speak it out with confidence, okay? They don't know if you're going to get it wrong. Okay, so, okay. Blessed are the... It's blessed are those who mourn. Oh, right, let's try again. Right, okay. Blessed are the very, let's go start from the beginning. I told you, Owen, you should have it hidden, but keep it hidden for a wee bit. Okay, very first one again. Here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled.
They shall be filled.
Okay. Come on, people. Enthusiasm. Okay. Right. That's the first four. Now we're going to switch, and you're going to lead the next four, okay? Blessed are the merciful. Okay. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the... Well done, back row. Blessed are the... Good. Tough crowd today, aren't you? Blessed are... Something to do with righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness. For what? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well done. Okay, it's only eight little beatitudes. You almost did them really well. You know, this side did have a cheat because Paulie's in the back row reading them like this. But that's okay, okay? Let's all read them together. Can you unhide it? Let's do. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are blessed.
Well done to Bryn for the Irish accent. So let's pray together.
Father, they are words that we have heard so many times. We've read them so many times. We can picture them on posters and on little bookmarks that we put in our Bibles. We do pray, Lord, that these words that we can so easily memorize and recite and have them ingrained in our brains, that these words would come alive in our lives, that they would take hold of our hearts and who we are as your children, as your people, and that they would transform us because you, through the power of your word, would transform us. So as we continue this journey, be with us, meet with us once again on the side of that mountain as we hear these words. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, I came across a story earlier this week about a man who had gone to watch athletes getting ready for a track meet. And the spectator was sitting high up in the bleachers, but in the midst of all of the athletes preparing and warming up, he noticed there was one that looked really impressive. Spiffy, you know, uniform. He had bright custom socks on and shoes that looked like they were, you know, worth a fortune. He had all the accessories that he would need. But it was more than that. He was doing everything in a very professional manner. He had all the right moves. He was doing all of the right warm-ups and preparations. And so this spectator thought, this guy is going to be really good. He's going to be the star of this track meet. And then the starting pistol went off, and the spectator burst out laughing. Because the most impressive-looking runner actually was the slowest guy on the track. He looked really good preparing and from the outside, but he performed so badly. You see, his outer appearance was perfect, but the inner substance just wasn't there. Perhaps in many ways than we care to admit, that story illustrates so much about the world we live in, where what's on the outside seems to be of more importance than what's on the inside. But not so in the kingdom of heaven. You see, in God's eyes, it is the complete opposite. Substance, who we really are as people, means everything. This Lent, we're making our way through the Beatitudes, the being attitudes. Jesus' description about the character of a person who is in harmony with his kingdom. Today we have made our way and we are on the sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You see, substance matters. Later in his sermon, Jesus emphasizes that big time as he talks to all of the people gathered around him about giving, almsgiving, about how they should pray, about how they should fast. And he tells them, be careful not to practice your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Be careful what you're doing on the outside, what you're seen to be doing. Because your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You see, your Father looks on the inside. He sees what's going on the inside. Substance matters. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. To unpack this beatitude, we need to consider these three key words that are held within it. Heart, pure, and see. This word heart. If you did a quick study of how the word heart is often used in the Bible, we can see that a lot of times it's paired with other words like mind or soul. Take, for instance, Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind in order to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. It's like that verse echoes the entire thesis of what lies behind this sermon series in the Beatitudes. Great character should lead to great conduct, great behavior. And in the Bible, it would seem that great character is synonymous with this idea of our hearts, our minds, our souls. And if the core of our being, or who we are as people, is in harmony with the kingdom of heaven, we will behave in a way that is in sync with that kingdom. That harmony requires our hearts to be pure. When we looked at the third beatitude about the meek, we could see there was an easy connection with a psalm, Psalm 37. Today, I hope you heard that there's an easy connection with Psalm 24. Because in it we heard, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. They will receive blessing from the Lord. The first thing to note is the fact that the psalmist is seeing this connection between the words clean and the word pure. Clean hands, symbolizing the actions of a person, right actions. And the Pharisees were particularly concerned with this aspect of purity. Being seen to have clean hands, to do the right things, doing their acts of righteousness perfectly in accordance to the law. But right actions, what we do with their hands in and of themselves is not enough. We need to be pure on the inside. And Jesus emphasizes this in an interaction that he has with some Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. He says, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. They don't do the right things on the outside. Jesus replied, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips. They're saying the right things, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Jesus called the crowd to himself and said, listen and understand what I say. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. What comes out of his mouth, out from the inside, from the core of the man, that's what makes him unclean. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these are what make a person unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a person unclean. Eating with unwashed hands? That doesn't make someone unclean. Being clean on the outside does not necessarily mean that that person is pure on the inside. Pure. Time and time and time again, you read through the Old Testament, you'll hear this idea of pure gold, meaning it's 100% gold. It's not an alloy. It hasn't been contaminated. It's not like 70% gold and 30% something else. It is 100% the way it was supposed to be. It's not mixed. It's not spoiled in any way. A heart that is pure is therefore a heart that is uncorrupted. Job talked about this in his interaction with his friends. And at the end of all of those awful experiences, he tells them and says, I am pure and without sin. I am clean and free from guilt. You see, for Job to be pure in heart meant he was sinless. Is the sixth beatitude, is Jesus saying that in harmony with the kingdom of heaven are those whose core, whose being is sinless? I think the answer is yes. I think that's exactly what Jesus is saying. But how can that happen to any of us? How can any of us be like that? Well, it can't. None of us on our own can become free of sin. That's why this is a beatitude. Because from the very outset of this series, we came face to face with the fact we can't save ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for from dust we came, to dust we will return. But for the grace of God. Because of the grace of God, because of what Jesus has done for us, as we will celebrate around this table, because of the Spirit that has been sent to us, that is with us, that is helping us, that is encouraging us and comforting us and in us and guiding us, because of the Spirit who comes and helps us mourn over our frailty and our fallenness, that's the only way that we will become transformed and that we will be transformed into the likeness of the King himself. And then, once transformed, according to Jesus, we will see God. What's meant by this third key word in the Beatitude? In the psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 24, listen again to what the psalmist says. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The psalmist is asking, of all the pilgrims that are making their way to Jerusalem, of all of the pilgrims that are ascending up Mount Zion, of all of the pilgrims that are heading towards the temple, of all of those pilgrims, which one of them will be able to go into the temple and stand in the Holy of Holies? Answer, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. In the psalm, the pure in heart will be able to go in and stand in the very presence of God. I'm sure that you recall that in the Old Testament, right, the temple was the center of people's lives. All the worship and sacrifices that occurred daily in and around the temple. And in the heart of the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies. It was behind a very large curtain. And inside, behind that curtain, contained a box known as the Ark of the Covenant. And in that box was the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses. God's word, God's life-giving word, was on those tablets. And all of that lay behind this curtain. And that place was called the Holy of Holies. It was the holiest place in all of Israel. Because in there, that's where God was. That's where God dwelt in the midst of his people. No one ever got in behind that temple. Well, one person did once a year, the high priest. But even when he went in, he had to have a big rope attached around his waist just in case he fell dead. And they would have to drag him out. The fact remains, if you could get behind that curtain, if you could get into the Holy of Holies, if you could stand right beside that Ark of the Covenant, you would see God. Because you would now be standing in his presence, where he is. Being able to see God is symbolic of being in the very presence of the living God. And Jesus tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, because they, and only they, will be able to be in the presence of the living God. That makes sense. Only those who are uncontaminated, those who are uncorrupted, those who are pure, 100% as they were made to be, they will be able to stand. And only they, in the presence of the living God, in the holiest of holies. So the big question, how can any of us become like that? How could we become pure in heart? Is there anything that is contained within the Beatitude that might encourage us today? That somehow with God's help, we might be more and more transformed to become more like Christ? And what's more, how does this beatitude relate to others? That's what I'm expecting it to do, to be. When we started this series, the first two beatitudes are very focused on us as individuals, our frailty, our fallenness. But the reality is they talk about everyone's frailty, everyone's fallenness. But then from beatitude number three on, the focus of them goes out from ourselves to how we interrelate with each other, our right relatedness, our righteousness. We saw that. We'll see that as we go into the last two, peacemakers and talking about righteousness, those that hunger and thirst for it, those that are persecuted for it. How is being pure in heart as an individual connected to others? I think we're trying to ask in this beatitude, if this is beatitude is all about my journey towards the Holy of Holies, that I can stand in the very presence of God, how is this talking about all of us going together? It's not about my personal journey to it. It's about us journeying together. How does this all work itself out? I think the psalmist kind of gave us a clue. The only way to stand in the very presence of God, according to the psalmist, was to have this pure heart. And when we're standing in the Holy of Holies, we have a pure heart because there's something there that helps us diagnose the purity of our hearts. Inside of the Ark of the Covenant are the commandments, God's law, God's word. If you can live in accordance to those commandments perfectly, then it's a symbol of being pure, of being holy. They are holy words. live in accordance to those commandments, you will get closer and closer and closer and closer to God.
So is Jesus telling us together to live out the commandments, to try and better, for instance, how the Pharisees lived them out? Well, not long after teaching the Beatitudes, he says these words, "Anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." What are we being told? Not right relatedness on the outside, not acts of righteousness. It's not about what we are seen to be doing. It's about our inside, who we are. Our righteousness on the inside must surpass that of the Pharisees. How, Jesus, how can we live out those commandments better from the inside? Jesus answers, as he so often does, these questions that seem to connect inside all of these Gospels. In Matthew chapter 22, we read this. "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, who's an expert in the law, tested him with a question. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" What's the most important one, Jesus? What's the one that will enable me to be able to stand in the very presence of God, to be seen to be the most righteous of all? And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." You see, all the law, everything that was given to you, everything that's in scriptures, everything that was written on those two stone tablets, everything that is symbolized by those two tablets in the Ark of the Covenant behind that large curtain in the holiest of holies, all of it hangs on these two commandments. Holiness hangs on these two commandments. Pure hearts hang on these two commandments. If you want to stand in the holiest of holies, if you want to be able to stand in the very presence of the living God, if you desire deep down in your soul to want to see the face of the living God, everything hangs on these two commandments. For you to love God with your all and love your neighbor as yourself. Blessed are the pure in heart. In harmony are those whose core is right, whose life is centered on the right things. Not doing acts of righteousness to be seen, but loving God, loving your neighbor, pouring out life, living for God and others. In harmony with the King are those who love the Father so much and His children so much that He would come and give everything, everything, that we might live. If you live following Him, you will indeed be in the presence of the living God. So that's exactly what he calls us to remember
what he calls us to follow, what he calls us to be. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, these words that you taught us so long ago. Are words which transform us from the inside out. We pray by your mercy and grace that we would not resign these words to pieces of paper, to overhead projection, but that these words would indeed take root deeply in our hearts and our lives, that we would seek to practice what they teach. We'd seek your Spirit to guide us, help us, empower us, encourage us to follow you each and every day. We come to your table now, Lord, to be reminded once again, as we so need to be reminded, what you did, of your love, how you loved the Father and us so much. You gave everything. So meet us at this table. Feed us, bless us. Transform us, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I would invite the serving elders to come forward. As we gather at this table today, we're going to read the Beatitudes one more time. Owen, do you want to throw them up on the screen? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who come before you, our Lord Jesus, with nothing, with no claim, no right, nothing. Come as a beggar, open-handed, to say to you, Lord, from dust I came, to dust I will return, but for you. But for your grace. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who come before your Lord Jesus at this table, realizing our frailty is because of our fallenness, because we have all fallen short of your glory. We have fallen short of the people you created us to be. By our very fallen natures, we are selfish. We want for ourselves. We take for ourselves. We seek life for ourselves. And so we mourn that and pray that your Spirit would come upon us and shine your light into the darkness and transform us from the inside out. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, we see how you hunger and thirsted for us, that you would pour out your life. You would consider what it meant to be God, and you would empty yourself to give us life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In these elements on this table, Lord Jesus, we see you. We see your love. We see your life freely given. And we accept it today. And pray as you feed us now and bless us with your life, that we would indeed be transformed. Our hearts would become more attuned to yours. And that we would follow you more and more each and every day. So meet us here, Lord Jesus. Give you thanks and all praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen. On the night that our Lord was betrayed, having given thanks, he took bread. As I, ministering in his name, take this bread today. And he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body that is given for you. In the same manner also, he takes the cup of salvation, the new covenant in his blood, his life-giving blood, so freely poured out. And he invites you and I to drink of it, to share it, to be filled with it. Today, when you receive the elements, as we always do, we'll hold the bread together as a sign that we as a community of faith are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the children of God. But when you receive the cup, I invite you, as I've done before, for you to partake in it in your own time as your response to what God's saying to you in your heart from these Beatitudes. Which one is touching you right now? Which one's transforming you right now?